Well, the Taoiseach met the five directors of Quinn Industrial Holdings yesterday, including Kevin Lunny, to tell them their safety and security was being treated with the utmost seriousness at the top of government. The meeting came as his party colleague Michael Darcy criticised senior Gardaí in the border region over their handling of years of threats to the Quinn directors. Well, with me on the line now is John McCartan, one of the directors of QIH. Good morning, John. Thanks as ever for talking to us.
Thank you, Miriam.
Listen, first of all, John, tell us what the Taoiseach maybe had to say to you and the other directors yesterday afternoon.
Well, the Taoiseach's visit was probably just an extension of the communication that he has been keeping with us over the last few weeks. We had a long discussion both about the investigation as it is going right now and, of course, the implications of the events of Friday. We did discuss with them, you know, our thanks for the intensity of the investigation that's going on, for the marked efforts that have been made for our safety at the moment. And of course, we discussed the future of the investigation, where we impressed on him that while a major link in the chain of command in the attacks and intimidation on us over the last 4.5 years has been taken out of the equation, that there is still resolve needed to ensure that the top of the chain of command, that as we call him, the paymaster, is finally brought to heel.
Minister of State, of course, Michael Darcy, he criticised Logan Gardaí yesterday and said that the campaign of intimidation against you directors, that it should have been dealt with sooner and better at local Garda level. Do you feel, John, the Gardaí let you and your colleagues down?
Well, I suppose you and I discussed this before on occasions where, you know, we did have a sustained attack on us. It's going on for a number of years. There were a number of incidents that were allowed to go unchallenged. The incitement to hatred and violence at public meetings, the postering of our neighbourhoods with defamatory posters, and, of course, threatening us face-to-face. And certainly we had frustration over a long period of time about all of these things.
I was reading yesterday as well, John, in the Sunday Times, John Mooney's story, just that you yourself had been told, and that quote is, blood would be left on the walls of the offices of QIH if you didn't personally follow specific instructions when making business decisions. I know you told Gardaí that, John, but did you feel those threats were taken seriously at that time?
I guess not, and maybe even they weren't taken seriously by me and by my fellow directors as well. You know, none of us could have imagined that anybody would stoop to the levels of depravity that these people have stooped to, and none of us could countenance the inhumanity and the lack of empathy that they have.
Things do seem to have changed, though, don't they, John? Even that meeting yesterday with the Taoiseach, do you feel, I suppose, the PSNI and the Gardaí now are very focused on trying to bring to justice the people who are behind this?
Yeah, I can say at the moment that we have confidence that the Gardaí are doing absolutely everything that they can in this investigation. We know that it's wide-ranging. We know that it's deep. We know that it is very well resourced, and we see that on both sides of the border right now, and of course we are also thankful for the efforts that they're making for our own personal safety as well.
Has that made a big difference to you personally, John? I know the last night I spoke to you in prime time, you were just getting all that security on your home. Has that changed your life and how you feel?
Well, we can't be complacent, and we can't presume that just because we're taking precautions that we have left ourselves completely invulnerable. We do go about our business. We move around in a rural area, in a rural setting, and there are still a lot of risks attached to our everyday activities, and there is still an overriding risk that this campaign of intimidation is not over.
Minister Charlie Flanagan said this morning that there won't be a cross-border force to deal with crimes along the border. Is that a disappointment?
Crime doesn't respect borders, but unfortunately policing and law enforcement has to respect borders, and in a region such as we live in, where there is the absolute and complete freedom of movement of people, and that's something I support, you do need to be able to tackle crime in a joint manner. Charlie Flanagan can't unilaterally set up any sort of joint authority that needs the cooperation of forces on both sides of the border and government on both sides of the border. And while there isn't a functioning government north of the border, I understand the bind that the minister finds himself in, because he can't just unilaterally create a cross-border joint organisation.
When you heard the news about Cyril McGuinness, in the end, obviously, he died when the police went into his home. What was your reaction, John, knowing that he had been caught?
Well, first of all, it was quite shocking news. This, he's been a huge figure along the border area for a very long period of time. It took me a moment to digest the fact that it had happened. Then, of course, there is the concern that an evidential lump has gone from the investigation with his passing. However, I do acknowledge the reports that there has been, I think it was called a treasure trove of evidence found in that house, and that can only be a good thing for the investigation.
Can I ask you about the email? Maeve Sheehan had it yesterday in the Sunday Times, John, an email which was sent to the CEO, Liam McCaffrey, by Sean Quinn Jr. the day after Kevin, of course, appeared on BBC Northern Ireland Spotlight programme. That email was shared with you other directors. What did it say?
It just offered to try to bring peace to the community and try and restore harmony to the community. I think Liam's response was fairly perfect. He said that our community didn't need to be calmed, that there wasn't a problem with our community. Our community did not commit that horrible crime against Kevin Lunny, and our community is not waging a war against us and our businesses. And that whatever Sean Quinn Jr. knew about this campaign, he should really be talking to the Gardaí and the PSNI about it.
So I suppose Sean Jr. had made the offer in that interview as well on Spotlight, in theory, to meet some of you at QIH. But I think Liam just said, yeah, we're not going to meet you. If you've anything, give it to the Gardaí or the PSNI.
Yeah, that's just about the crux of it.
What now, John? I mean, what stage do you think the investigation is at now, post the death of Cyril McGuinness?
We are not privy to the details of the investigation. All I know and understand is that there is a massive and concerted effort on both sides of the border by both police forces. That doesn't seem to be waning at all in any way. And there would appear to be a substantial evidential trail leading to where, I cannot tell you, and I don't know, but there does seem to be a very substantial evidential trail.
John, as ever, thank you so much for talking to us this morning, and take very good care of yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
And now I'm joined by Garda James Morris-Rowe, who's the GRA representative in the Cavan-Monaghan divisional area. And also I'm joined by Rodney Edwards, who's a journalist who's covered the story immensely, and he's the deputy editor of The Impartial Reporter. To you first, James. Minister of State Michael Darcy, who, by the way, we did invite him to come on this morning show anytime up until midday to clarify his comments, but he is not available. But he was talking yesterday about your colleagues on the ground. He said that the QIH directors were let down by local Gardaí. I think you want him to apologise, James.
Yes, good morning, Miriam. Just look, without getting dragged into the politics of it, I'd simply call on the minister to apologise to the front members who he alluded to when he referred to members on the ground, and maybe to publicly clarify his comments. I just think the comments were ill-informed and maybe made without an understanding of the issues that we're dealing with.
How did your colleagues react yesterday after they heard his comments?
Well, they felt let down because... if you don't, you have to have the members there. As I said previously, Ballyconnell Station, where a lot of these incidents are occurring in that sub-district, it has been reduced. The numbers have been reduced by 2/3 over the last number of years there. So you simply cannot have the same effect on the ground if the numbers are gone down so much. The GRA and I have repeatedly raised the issue of under-resourcing on the border in the border region. And the recent announcement of the allocation of the armed response unit in Cavan, it's a temporary measure, but hopefully it will be permanent. And the further allocation of 45 to the border and 20 of Gardaí, 20 to the Cavan-Monaghan division, it's a welcome first step, and it vindicates our position in the fact that We have always said it's under-resourced in that particular area and in the wider border region. And by the reaction, it has proven our point.
But James, I mean, I was talking to John McCartan just there, and he's now very supportive, obviously, of the Gardaí and the PSNI. But in the past, they were critical of Gardaí, and many people were wondering, look, even at the posters. I mean, I was up there and saw them with my own eyes, and it was only the Thursday before, last Thursday, that the final poster just outside their business premises was taken down. I mean, why couldn't a local guard take that down?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it was the guards who were supposed to take it down. There was talk of the county council, but my understanding is they are down now. Now, I'm not privy to the...
Yeah, but years on, James, years on.
Yes, but I'm not privy to whether there was complaints or not made in relation to the posters. And look, just...
There were endless complaints, James, by the directors themselves.
To add to that, there is a security aspect in relation to removing hoardings and posters, which I'm not going to get into. It is a security issue as well. But my understanding is that the Gardaí did help in taking them down and that they are down now. I can't comment on the past. But look, if you have a deficit of resources and if you don't have the whole package of locally based members in an area, a drugs unit, detective locally based, division of traffic units, all of whom have local knowledge, the policing service and its effectiveness is going to be less effective. And that facilitates criminality. You know, the well-tested and effective model of policing was effectively dismantled during austerity and replaced with a skeletal fire brigade service. You know.
Yes, and I know that GRA, James, you have repeatedly, to be fair, raised the issue of under-resourcing. But does that also, at some stage in this investigation, could it have become an excuse? I mean, okay, one could be under-resourced, but you can still send out a few Gardaí protected to take down those posters. I mean, is there a feeling that Gardaí feel intimidated? I know the last time you were on this programme, you spoke a member of the force had their car burnt out.
Yeah, members have faced intimidation, but members that I represent and members generally on Gardaí Síochána Síochána have always faced down the criminality, took it on face to face. But if you don't have the resources, and look, I'll repeat what I said, the armed response units were brought in on a temporary basis to deal with this. So that recognises the seriousness of the issue. And look, over the weekend, I read various newspaper reports highlighting the type of criminality that exists in the border region and the serious criminals that the members I represent are likely to encounter at any time of the day or night. So, you know, it's a bit of an insult to suggest from the minister that members on the ground were not doing their jobs. They were doing their jobs to the best of their ability with the resources that were available to them. If they weren't there in the community, they couldn't be out doing their jobs. There was a deficit of members in the community.
But do you think everyone has woken up now, both in government and in senior management, the Gardaí and the PSNI? Do you now feel resourced as you need to be to tackle this investigation?
Yeah, as I said, it's very welcome, the Armed Response Unit and the extra Gardaí, but we cannot take our foot off the pedal on this. We cannot have a situation going forward where recruitment stops and that large areas of the country are left totally under-resourced with personnel shortages. You know, fiscal pressures come on, there's budgetary considerations, there's deployment decisions to leave large areas, and especially in the border. Like, I've worked in the border for 24 years on the front line. It's a unique policing area. It has unique characteristics to policing it. You cannot leave it abandoned. You have to have the members there dealing with the criminality on the ground.
But were your bosses demanding that the Armed Response Unit be brought in years ago to get a handle on this?
Going back to 2016, the GRA have highlighted and called for armed response units to be based in every division, and particularly in the border region, that an armed response unit is based there. And we've been calling for that since 2016. It's actually GRA policy.
How significant was the death of Cyril McGuinness?
Well, look, I mean, I can't really comment on that. I just to highlight the type of criminality and the reports that have come out over the weekend of the type of criminality that he was involved in. He's the type of criminal that Gardaí on the border encounter. Are there more of them? I can't say, but that's the type of criminality you're dealing with. So it does demand a special, specific response. And as I spoke about, border policing is unique in that respect. You have criminals, you have cross-border criminality, you have them flirting one side of the border over to the other side of the border. So it demands a specific response on both sides of the border.
Stay with me, James. Rodney, I spoke obviously to John McCartan earlier, and he spoke about the reports that Sean Quinn Jr. in the email wanted to meet the QIH directors. And one of the reasons Liam McCaffrey said he couldn't meet Sean Jr. is due to comments he made to you, Rodney, in an interview last year. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, I think it was the Sunday Independent had copies of that email exchange between Liam and Sean Quinn Jr. Sean Quinn Jr. suggested that a meeting should take place to explore if there's some way the parties could work together to try and bring calm to the area. And Mr. McCarthy replied saying that he and others did not see any benefit in meeting with the Quinns, and he referred to that interview in the Impartial Reporter. And that interview took place last year, and Sean Quinn Jr. described Mr. McCaffrey and the other directors as pariahs in their community, and as a remark that infuriated QIH, and you could see that in that email exchange yesterday.
What's the atmosphere like, Rodney? You've covered this story now for a long time. You're up in the area. What's the atmosphere been like since the death of Cyril McGuinness?
Well, it's been a strange few days, Miriam. In fact, it's been a strange few weeks. This has very much become part of the conversation in homes and workplaces across Fermanagh, Cavan and further afield. And of course, while the main suspect is dead, people here are still very much aware that there are other potential suspects who are still alive and have not yet been taken to task, and they want to see these people brought to justice. So the atmosphere continues to be one of fear.
What about the reaction to our Taoiseach's meeting yesterday with the five directors? Obviously, he went to great lengths to assure them about their own security, that law and order in the Bordie region now is being treated with the utmost seriousness. But are these words too little too late, given how long this intimidation has been going on for?
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, I have been covering every twist and turn of the story for many years. And I think what has been commented on in recent weeks, what people are saying here, is that politicians, police forces and now other individuals have now finally caught up. You know, this is not new. The intimidation and harassment is not new. It's something that people here have been very aware of for many years. And they are baffled that it took this savage attack on Kevin Lunny to make people sit up and listen.
OK, well, look, Rodney Edwards, thank you for joining us. And Garda James Morrisseau, thank you for joining us too. We'll take a break.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.